Sportscast on this lovely August 21st, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. iTunes is the podcast version of the show. Visit us on thesportscast.net. The ACC commissioner says the medical group, he feels very comfortable, very fine with it. So that's very good signs for college football to keep going. Feels like it's half and half, you know. One part of college football is playing and the other half hopefully next season. I mean, next spring, but we'll see where this cookie crumbles. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can get the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. The NFL is quietly preparing to begin the season in 3 weeks. Any hiccups yet? I don't think so. They are marching forward as far as we know. And Jeff Fowler, a person that is not a plumber, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. I appreciate it.
Jeff, if you had one trade skill that you had to take on, which trade would you be more interested in?
Welding.
Interesting. That's a good one.
Because they're always looking for underwater welders. And I just think that would be like you'd be going a different place every day and going to see the dam structures and all that. And obviously then I could scope out new fishing spots.
And that seems like a Pennsylvania thing.
Yeah.
That seems like a very Pennsylvania thing to do. I don't know if you could be a welder in Florida. I heard that's not possible, but I could be wrong. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not an expert on trade jobs or anything like that. But anyways, Jeff, sad news this past 24 hours. Ron Rivera from the Washington team. This Washington team has been making news for the past 3-4 months. Has cancer. But he plans to continue coaching. Rivera was diagnosed with a squamous cell carcinoma located in his lymph node. The team said in a statement, Rivera said the cancer is in the early stages and considered very treatable and curable. Jeff, how much of an impact is this for the Washington football team?
I'm sure he's going to have to delegate a little bit more than he normally would have. Obviously, from the statement that he released, it sounds as though, you know, they caught it early, so it's very treatable, as you mentioned, which is, all things considered, obviously, that's a good thing. But it's certainly going to cause other members on the coaching staff to take on a heavier load, so you're going to have quality depth in your coaching staff as much as you are on your roster. So it's certainly it'll certainly be a big challenge, but I do think, not that I know every name, but from what I've seen, Rivera did put together a pretty good veteran coaching staff.
As you were saying, veteran coaching staff, how do you rate this team? I know they have the Dwayne Haskins potentially or probably will be the starter for this squad, and then Alex Smith is making some noise that he might come back, but how would you rate this squad in a very deep NFC East?
When I watched the Redskins last year, I actually thought their front seven had a lot of talent. And even just their defense as a whole had a lot of talent. Like a lot of teams, if you don't figure out the quarterback position, it's hard for the rest of your roster to really shine. So figuring out what they're going to do at quarterback will be important. I don't know if Alex Smith will be able to be back to being himself after the level of injury that he had. But to me, this almost feels as, you know, you hate to see the guy keep going through it, but to me it feels as though this could be Alex Smith with Kaepernick and Mahomes all over again, where you bring in Alex and let him play early, and then eventually you hope that Haskins can take over. So if I had to bet one way or another, I could see it playing out that way. But that's also assuming that Alex Smith can play at a high level after that injury. I mean, I believe they picked up Case Keenum. It really wouldn't surprise me to see Keenum actually be the starter in the very early parts of the season.
There is another quarterback named Mr. Kyle Allen. He's also in the squad. I mean, is he also another quarterback, do you think, that could, you know, that could take over the starting role?
I don't think so. I think he's more of a depth player. I don't see him being a starter. Obviously, surprises happen. You never know. But I would certainly think that he's a role player.
Yeah, to be correct, the Case Keenum is with the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, well, that was my mistake.
Very close. Very close. Yeah. But, yeah, Case Keenum, I believe he signed this past summer. Of course, Keenum was a phenomenal quarterback when he was with Minnesota and then went to Denver afterwards. Denver didn't really work out for Case Keenum. And then I guess he's with the Browns. So I guess he'll be the Baker Mayfield role model, I guess.
You hope so anyway. Yeah.
Well, anyways, the Washington football team, of course, are in the conference with the Cowboys, with the Eagles, and who's the fourth team?
The Giants.
The Giants, that's right. But that conference, it feels like, is a Dallas going to win it type of feel, doesn't it?
I don't know about that. I mean, so I like Dallas's roster a lot, but you can never overlook the Eagles. Doug Peterson's a great coach. With Wentz, it's just all about health. I mean, when Wentz is healthy, he's really a quality quarterback. And then last year, he stayed healthy until the playoffs, but he missed so many receivers. So I think as long as the Eagles stay relatively healthy, they're going to be right there. The Cowboys, I mean, look, the Cowboys have a ton of talent. I mean, there's no disputing that. So they very well could win that division. But I still like the Eagles in that division.
Yeah, Eagles, of course, with Carson Wentz as a starter, they won the Super Bowl a few years ago. But this Dallas team had a lot of pickup, you know, these past couple of months. So we'll see how they go. Big news for the Chiefs, Jeff. The Chiefs are not allowed to wear anything associated with American Indians. They announced the rules yesterday for fans attending home games at Arrowhead Stadium. They're not going to allow hairdresses or certain types of face paint in effort to be more sensitive to Native Americans. And that will be starting beginning this season. I know the Chiefs are known to put some face paint on and make that the Arrowhead Chop, I believe it's called. What are your thoughts about this? Or you think it's kind of going a little bit like overboard?
So I think, and you can check it out on Twitter. I retweeted some comments from a lady named Connie Jo. She's been a Chiefs fan for a really long time. She was Native American back. She is Native American. I really, throughout all of this, even both, like going back the last couple of years, I've always listened to her on a lot of this because she's very much engaged in that community. So I think that her voice has a lot of merit. And I didn't get to read everything that she shared. They interviewed her for a local TV station. But the Cliff Notes version is, I believe that she said that it would make the most sense if they do away with the headdress and the tribal painting, but the chop is okay as long as you're not doing those other things. So, I look at that and I say, you know what? If this is something that the Native American community doesn't like or isn't comfortable with, then you really shouldn't be doing it. You know, and that is, you know, that's something that is, I don't want to say sacred to them, but it's important to their culture. And if it makes them feel minimized because we're using it for the sake of sport, then, you know, who am I to tell them that they're wrong about their own heritage and their own culture? So, my view on that is you really need to pay attention to the Native American voices. And I think I will say this: I do feel that just based on what we know right now, Clark Hunt has always had pretty good relations with the tribes in the Kansas City area, and I think he's made sincere and honest efforts to keep the Chiefs in their good graces. So at the end of the day, just to put it in black and white, as long as these things are coming from Native Americans and not somebody in Washington, D.C. or Portland or any other, you know, city that's not related to the tribes, then I do think you should listen to them. And maybe I'm being a little bit biased just because I've interacted with Connie for a long time, but when she speaks, I listen, because you can tell that she really, really cares deeply about it, and you can tell that she really pays attention and her community is important to her. So when you see someone like that share their opinion, I think it carries a lot of weight, and I think we have to listen to people like her.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure that the Chiefs probably did listen to her and some other groups out there concerning with this. Of course, the Washington football team changed their name from the Redskins into the Washington football team, which I think they should keep it like that. But, of course, they're going to have a new name next season. And the ramifications to change a name is a huge process, because you got to change the uniform, you got to change other stuff. I've seen it when I've done it for my clients, when I had to rebrand their website. It's like a whole process, change their email addresses. And, of course, with the Washington football team, they got to do a lot of changes. Would you say that you foresee potentially, or what have you heard, that like they could change the Kansas City Chiefs to another name, or you think like the Chiefs will be here to stay?
Well, you know, I look at it and I say the Chiefs name in itself is not derogatory. So my hope, and this might be more hope than what will actually come to fruition, you know, my hope is that they make some of these moves to be more, I guess, more reasonable, or, you know, to be more understanding. If they do these things, then the actual name Chiefs should be okay. You know, that's my view on it. And, you know, I don't look at the name of Chiefs in itself as being something derogatory. It's the representations that are being used around it that are being asked to be changed.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, there's some other sports teams with Indian names like the Blackhawks. But of course, there was hasn't been much of a protest with that. But for the Redskins, it's been like that for a while. I believe they've been protesting that name for the past 10 years or so. And of course, once Amazon pressured, I believe, no, it was Nike who removed like their apparel, so they had that forced to change the name. So it's quite interesting how things pan out. Travis Kelce, Jeff, and the Chiefs have agreed to a parameter of a 4-year extension that would tie Kelce to the Chiefs for the next 6 seasons. Is Kelce a keeper?
Absolutely. And the night, you know, obviously he'll be well into his mid-30s by the time it's over. But the nice thing about with the tight end position, you know, as these guys get older, they lose some of their athleticism. But Kelce's a great route runner. And you look at the trek of guys like Jason Witten and Tony Gonzalez. As they got older, they didn't make as many plays down the field, but they still made plenty of plays and, you know, were great in the red zone. And that's what Kelce will be. You know, Kelce in these next couple years probably still won't be the guy catching 30-yard passes down the field. But because of the receivers he's surrounded by, he won't always have to be that guy. So I think it's great to keep him locked up as long as possible, and I hope he plays the rest of his career with the Chiefs.
You think he's the most important receiver for the Chiefs right now, or do you think it's Hill?
Yeah, man, that's a tough one. I think
that's what I ask.
I think... Yeah, I mean, I think because the Chiefs have Mecole Hardman, if Hill misses some games, then I think you have to say it's Kelce, just because the talent they have behind Kelce can't do anywhere close to the things that he does. But I will say Tyreek, the thing about Tyreek Hill that you can't replace is he just has that once-in-a-lifetime speed. And when the games that he didn't play, teams really started to take more chances against the Chiefs because they weren't quite as fearful of getting beat deep. Now, some of that, too, was Sammy Watkins was banged up around the same time, so it wasn't just that Hill was out. I think, though, man, that is a tough one to answer, though, because Tyreek does open up the entire offense. Like, when Tyreek Hill's on the field, you really can't play an eight-man front because you need to devote safety help to him on pretty much every play. So I do think Hill is the bigger X factor, but just on a down-to-down basis, like, if it's third and five and you really need a play, the Chiefs are going to go to Kelce more than they go to Hill. It's just that Hill opens up the offense so much just because of his unique athletic ability. And he's become a really good receiver, too. He's not just a run-fast, jump-high guy. He's a quality route runner and a good overall receiver.
But is Kelce that Gronk guy that, you know, Brady would pass Kelce? I mean, would pass to Gronk all the time, just as Mahomes would. I mean, would Mahomes pass to Kelce all the time compared to how Brady passes to Gronk?
Absolutely. I mean, Kelce's the first tight end to ever have four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
There you have it.
You know, he produces. You know, he produces. He puts up monster numbers. Great in the red zone, vertical threat. Like I said, he won't always be a vertical threat, but still right now he is. So there's really nothing he can't do. And, you know, his blocking out in space is actually pretty good too. Now, he's not a dominant inline blocker like some of the other guys, you know, like your George Kittle and even your Gronk. But the idea that Kelce's a liability as a blocker is not true either. I mean, I think he's still a quality blocker.
The season begins September 10th, Jeff. The first three games of the Chiefs are the Texans, the Chargers, and the Ravens. Looks a little bit tense, but how would you rate that first three games for the Chiefs? Then you get the Patriots.
Week four.
Week one
is going to be so unpredictable because there was no preseason. That I'm really interested to see. I think now more than ever, coaching is going to separate teams because of the weird off season and no preseason. That week one game, obviously with no fans in the stands, I guess being the home team isn't a gigantic advantage, but that's a small advantage being at home. But then the other thing to me is just that the Texans have had more turnover than the Chiefs. The Chiefs bring back just about every starter, so that's a big deal. I want to say that after Dunavé Tardif opted out, they still brought back 19 out of 22 starters. So really, that's great. When you have an off season like it's been, where you don't have as much time to get your new guys acclimated, that's important. So the Chiefs will have continuity. Now with the Texans, they have a new defensive coordinator. They traded arguably the best player or second best player on their entire team to the Cardinals. They traded Hopkins. So it's going to take time for Watson to get on the same page with the new receivers. Now, they still have holdovers, too, like Will Fuller, who will be, you know, Will Fuller, when he's healthy, is one of the most dominant downfield threats in the NFL.
Yeah. But he had one good game last season.
But at the same time, he's not DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, for the better part of the last 4 or 5 years, has been in that conversation for the best receiver in the NFL.
And I agree.
It's always hard to say one guy is, but he's in the conversation. So to lose that, you know, you can't on one hand say, oh, this guy's amazing, he's great, and then on the other hand say, they won't miss him. You know, it's got to be one or the other.
Oh, he'll be missed.
So, yeah, and I just feel that plays in the Chiefs' favor. And then when you look at the Chargers, you know, their quarterback situation as of right now is a bit of a mess because they're either going to start Tyrod Taylor or they're going to throw the rookie in the fire. And either way, that's just not, you know, I'm not saying Herbert can't be a good quarterback, but I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback day one.
Especially when there's no preseason.
Yeah, no preseason, limited, you know, practice reps, limited offseason.
So
I think they almost have to start Taylor, but the problem is, you know what Taylor is, and it isn't real good.
Isn't too rosy.
The Ravens, obviously. I'm not. I don't want to bash the guy, but Tyrod.
Let's be honest, Jeff. We're at the sports cast.
Yeah, he's been given chances and he just hasn't produced. I mean, it's just that, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't belong on a roster or anything like that, but you're not going to make a deep playoff run with him as your starting quarterback.
Next game is the Ravens. Will we see the 2019 Lamar Jackson, or we're going to see a dip from him?
Well, I think Lamar Jackson is going to have a great season. At the end of the day with him, it's so simple. You know, when you get into really – when you play really quality teams or you get into playoff games, then when you get to that point, you've got to make more plays with your arms than your legs. And that's just the step that Jackson has to take. And he's not a finished product yet. He's still going to continue to grow. The one thing I noticed about him in that playoff game against the Titans, everything he threw outside the numbers was heavily contested. And just to the naked eye, it seemed to me he didn't trust what he was seeing, so he was late throwing the ball a lot. And that's something that I don't know how much of that you can change. I think some of it you can. You can obviously think that he'll improve. But at the same time, he's going to have to. I don't know how else to say it. Like, if they want to win a Super Bowl, he's going to have to. Now, what I will say that plays in their favor, that Ravens defense is loaded.
As always.
The Ravens defense is especially in the secondary. I mean, they might, just off the top of my head, I mean, they have an argument as the best secondary in the NFL. You know, Marcus Peters is the ultimate risk-reward corner, and he doesn't get, I'm not saying he never gets beat, but he doesn't get beat as much as people make it out to be. And then you have Marlon Mumphrey that is just a legit number one corner. So really, the Ravens have, like, two number one quality corners.
Who would guard Hill?
Hill didn't play the last time they played the Ravens, so it's hard to say, but I would think Mumphrey would be on Hill, and then Marcus Peters would play on either Sammy Watkins or McCole Hardman.
That's going to be an interesting game, by the way. Wow.
It will be an interesting matchup. And then you have Earl Thomas, who's going to have to contend with Kelsey and eliminate some big plays. It's hard to say. I mean, I think the Ravens, the Ravens' biggest problem last year was they didn't have much of a pass rush. So they brought in Calais Campbell to help with that some. Campbell, I think he can still play, but at the same time,
he's not all there.
You always take a risk. Yeah, you always take a risk when you bring in guys that are past their prime because they can hit that wall at any time.
Yeah.
So I understand why the Ravens did it because the Ravens are planning to win a Super Bowl this year. That's all there is. I mean, just point blank, the Ravens are playing to win it all this year. I mean,
which this could be their year, Jeff. It could be an AFC championship between you guys and the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening, but the thing that's going to be difficult there is the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers have a viable argument as being the second best team in the AFC.
Nah, they always say that. I don't believe it.
Well, I do because their defense is rock solid, and on offense, they were just such a disaster at quarterback that they.
But they have no running back, Jeff.
Yeah, but Roethlisberger, assuming. I know Roethlisberger's last full season, he led the NFL in interceptions. So I don't think it's reasonable to say that Roethlisberger's just going to magically be what he was in 2000.
I don't think so, dude. I think he's peaked. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, he's 38. I mean, he's older. But I also think he'll be better than Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph. He'll give them a chance
to say the least.
A lot of weeks with the defense. Yeah. I mean, Duck Hodges. There were games where he just.
You don't think they found the solution like the replacement? You don't think they found him yet?
No, I don't think the Steelers have any clue who's going to be quarterback after. I mean, it sounded like they tried to find Jameis Winston, but it didn't quite work out.
So interesting. That would have been a good pickup.
Yeah.
I would have gotten him.
If he gets his act together, I suppose.
But apparently he's the future for the Saints, so.
I mean, he could be. I mean, Sean Payton's a great quarterback whisperer. But he's one of the better quarterback coaches in the NFL.
Would you rather be mentored by Drew Brees or Roethlisberger?
Brees.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
I mean,
yeah. He's one of the third best quarterbacks in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Anyways, and – Week four, Jeff. I know it's the Patriots, a minus Tom Brady, minus Gronk, but you still have Belichick and a guy named Cam Newton. Is that a week four that you look like it's winnable? I mean, what do you think?
Well, it's definitely winnable, but the Patriots are just going to play ugly ball, and their defense is still loaded. Their defense still has plenty of great players, again, especially in the secondary. You know, I said about the Ravens might have the best secondary in the NFL. The Patriots are going to be right in that conversation, too.
Yeah, so they got talent still.
They're just going to try to, you know, they're not just going to roll over and die. I mean, the Patriots are still going to win some games.
Will they win the AFC East?
I think this is the year that the Bills get over the hump and win the division, but I think it's going to come down to the last couple weeks, and I still think the Patriots are, like, going to be right in it until the very end. So I don't think it'll be easy, but I think the Bills – I really like the Bills going out and getting Diggs, so I think that'll give them just enough to win that division.
It might come down to a game, Jeff.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will.
Questions from the comments on fantasy. Would you rather take Metcalf or Lockett?
Lockett.
Why?
Yeah, Lockett had a down year, but I think Metcalf being more prominent will actually – so my thing about Lockett, he's one of those guys that seems to always get open somehow. And anytime your best option across from you is a rookie, they're going to take their chances against the rookie. I think Metcalf is going to be that big play guy, but I think Lockett will be more consistent on a week-to-week basis.
Jeff Farr, he could be a ESPN NFL analyst, but he's an analyst for the sports guys. That's a better deal right there. A guy named Daniel Kilgore signed with the Chiefs. You don't know who he was, but he used to play for the Dolphins, and he's 32 years old. He is a veteran offensive lineman. Have you heard anything since I told you that news since last night?
Yeah, it sounds as though he's going to be in the mix at the center position.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year, you're always looking for competition. You know, you never want, especially on the interior offensive line, the Chiefs have been a little bit in flux with Tardif opting out. And then they signed Assemble as a free agent who, when he's healthy, is really good. But the interior of the offensive line of the Chiefs has some questions. So I think it's a matter of they wanted to bring in some veterans, and whoever starts is going to have to earn it. So I think that was the biggest part of it. I think it's competition. I don't know if we'll make the team for sure, but at the very least, you know, you have a guy that can push people, and if he does make the team, it's because he earned it.
Jeff, but there is a track record. A lot of players that leave Miami typically do a freaking, like awesome when they go to their new team. So,
hey, maybe you never know. I mean, maybe he ends up getting that starting position.
You probably got a steal for him. So, you probably had like a cheap contract and in the time of COVID, because I don't know, because I'm a business minded type of guy, and when I think of players. See players getting signed during these past couple of months. It's like, could that team really afford them?
Yeah.
In the next couple of months?
I know it.
Poll question.
It's been a wild couple months.
It is. Hopefully, which we were talking about this before, this month feels a little bit more normal. It's not normal, but it feels a little bit more normal versus July. So hopefully September, which the Chiefs have announced they'll have 25% of fans in their stadium. So that's not bad.
It's something. It's better than nothing, you know?
I wonder if you're gonna, if the tickets will be, double, $200 to get in.
Yeah.
It could be, man.
I will not. Yeah, I'm guessing that it's not going to be cheap.
And it's probably hard to find because Chiefs are going crazy. They're the defending Super Bowl champions, and we'll see if they repeat it, but they got to go through Lamar Jackson in week three. Polled question of the day. If you were a senior citizen, Jeff, and maybe in 50 years probably, which exercise would you like to be doing still? Running / long walks, weightlifting, playing team sports, or swimming?
Weightlifting.
Weightlifting. It is. Oh, it is at first place is running / long walks. And then weightlifting came in afterwards, then playing team sports and swimming at zero. I don't know why. Swimming's good. You don't have to worry about ruining your knees or anything.
That's a valid point.
Right? I mean, swimming, you're contactless. It's like using Apple Pay. You know, you don't touch anything. You don't give it the card. You just, you know. And a lot of players that have gone through knee injuries have to do some swimming exercises. I think it's called calisthenics. I don't know. I'm not a fitness guy. Anyways, Jeff, if people have questions about Metcalf and Lockett, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter.
That's going to be a good team. You know, it's funny. I was hearing a person on a podcast saying that Russell Wilson is the safest quarterback when it comes to fantasy. I agree with that person.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Well, he has a longer track record than Mahomes, but, man, with the weapons that Mahomes has, I think he's a pretty safe bet, too.
Because here's the why. I'm thinking Wilson doesn't get much injuries or doesn't really throw much turnover, so I think that's why people are saying he's the safest. Versus, yes, Lamar Jackson could give you yardage and also Mahomes, but I think Russell's good, safe, that he won't get injured or do many turnovers. But it's another argument for another podcast, right?
Yes, sir.
Jeff Farrer, NFL 3 Weeks, great show.
Can't wait.